Well, last week, I concluded our sermon by asking a question. And I'm going to use that same question to begin today's sermon. Here it is. If you plan to partake of communion today, why will you do so? What will be your reason for partaking if you plan to do that? Maybe you came here today knowing that communion would be offered and you didn't want to miss it. Why? If you had to write down a reason and turn it in, what would you write? Put that in your answer, put that answer in your mind right now. Some of you may have written down because God commands us to partake of communion. I want to be obedient, and God commands us to partake of communion. Others of you may have written in remembrance of what Jesus did. Both of those answers are good answers, for both answers echo the words of Jesus himself. On the night before his crucifixion, when Jesus first served communion, establishing the very practice of communion, Jesus said this: "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Clearly, we are to partake of communion in remembrance of Jesus. We're told that two times here in this passage. So that should indeed be a reason we partake today. And we should also partake because we are commanded to do so. The words "do this" are a command. Jesus doesn't say, "Well, I hope you'll partake of communion." He doesn't say, I encourage you every once in a while to partake of communion. He doesn't say, whenever you have the time, here's an experience you'll really like. No, Jesus' words are very clear. His words are a command. Do this. Do this in remembrance of me. And being obedient to God is certainly a wonderful practice. We should obey. Jesus himself said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Obedience to what God commands, that's part of love. So we should indeed obey. We should obey the command to partake of communion, and we should obey all of God's commands. We should do so diligently. We're even told in the Bible that we should spur each other on to obey. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, we are told, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." When you read that verse, remember what Jesus said about love. If you love me, you'll obey me. Therefore, we are to encourage each other to obey, to love, to obey. And doing good works is part of that obedience. It's obedience. That's a good thing. And just a few verses later in Hebrews 10, we have a stern warning about the lack of obedience. Starting with verse 26, we read this: "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." And especially focus on what is said next: "Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Those are serious verses. We actually looked at those not too long ago when we were going through Hebrews. Serious verses about obeying the law of God. So, if you are here today to partake of communion in obedience to God's command and also in remembrance of Jesus, those are very good reasons to do so. But, But with that understood, let's now read our passage from Galatians. Here at First Church, we've been going through the book of Galatians passage by passage. And today our passage is Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to be reading verses 10 through 14. And there are some shocking words in this passage about the law of God. So please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. And please stand for the reading. And we stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy, inspired word. He is speaking to us through His word. And His word says to us today, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Let's bow together. Father God Almighty, we want to understand the whole counsel of your word. And we pray that you would help us understand these amazing verses about the law and about what Christ, your Son, our Savior, has done. Give great clarity to all who are present here today, all who are listening through the internet. Give great clarity into these verses. Come and minister to our hearts and our minds. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We should obey the law. That was clear from what we looked at a moment ago. We should obey the law. But here, in verse 10, Paul speaks of works of the law putting us under a curse. And those words are shocking. And so we need to ask, well, what's this all about? How can works of the law put us under a curse? Well, the beginning of verse 10 is important. Verse 10 is about all who rely on works of the law, meaning they believe their obedience to the law will keep them out of hell and bring them into heaven. They're depending on their obedience to be their ticket to heaven, or at least part of their ticket to heaven. Paul says, all who are doing so, all who are obeying in order to be saved, all who are relying on the law in that way, they're under a curse. Verse 10 has to do with justification, a word we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now here at First Church as we go through this letter to the Galatians. Now, do you remember what justification means? Remember that meaning I gave you? Here is the concise definition I gave you, and why don't we all read this definition together today? All right, you join me today in reading the definition, and this will help us get it into our minds. Join me with the definition: the act of being declared legally righteous before God. That is what verse 10 is about, justification. And Paul is saying, now listen, if you are relying on works of the law to justify you, to get you declared righteous, if you're relying on the law for that, you're under a curse. So, listen to this. Verse 10 is about the reason for your obedience. It's not about obedience itself. It's about the reason for your obedience. Do you understand that? Verse 10 is about the reason for your obedience. Verse 10 is not saying all who are obedient are under a curse. It's not saying that, for that would contradict the very words of Jesus, who said, if you love me, you'll be obedient. You'll obey my commands. Being obedient, that's a good thing. So verse 10 is not saying that all who are obedient to the law are under a curse. But verse 10 is saying, it is very much saying, that all who are obedient for the wrong reason, they're under a curse. If you're seeking to gain heaven, if you're seeking to be justified by your personal obedience, if that's the reason for you obeying, you're obeying to be declared righteous before God and enter heaven, then you are under a curse, which of course is very serious. Paul writes this warning because the Christians in Galatia were being encouraged to obey the law for the wrong reason. They were being encouraged to do works of the law in order to be justified, to be saved. If you've been here the past Sundays, you already know the history. We've gone over that. Jews from Jerusalem came to Galatia and said to the Gentiles, hey, not only do you have to believe in Jesus, but in order to be saved, you also have to obey all of our Jewish ceremonial laws. You have to obey those laws to be saved. So the Galatians were now tempted to start relying on their obedience to those laws to be saved, to be justified. Galatians are being convinced that if they were not circumcised and if they did not start to follow all the Jewish regulations about food, then they would not be saved. So they were beginning to rely on obedience to the laws to be saved. And Paul tells them, now listen, you go down that path, you start to rely on such works of the law to be justified, you're going to be cursed. You will be cursed. And he quotes the Old Testament passage to defend that statement. At the end of verse 10, Paul writes, for it is written, here's his bringing the Old Testament into it, to defend what he's saying, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 27. And I will explain the meaning of that Old Testament quote by saying this: the law of God can indeed get a person to heaven. Okay? Obedience to the law can get a person to heaven, but here's the catch. You have to fully obey all of the laws all of the time. You cannot break even one law any time for you to get to heaven through the law. Okay? Your obedience has to be flawless, perfect. If you were to obey all of the laws all of the time, your whole life, then you would be justified through works of the law. But if you break even one law, one time, in thought, word, or deed, then the law condemns you. You will be cursed for not abiding by all of the laws. That is what God declared through Moses. You have to do everything written in the law all of the time if you are to be justified by works of the law. So Paul says to the Galatians, do you really want to try to get into heaven by your obedience to some ceremonial laws like circumcision and eating some certain foods? You really want to rely on those laws as your ticket? Well, realize you're signing up to keep all the other laws as well. and you are signing up to keep them flawlessly. You know, you can't just pick and choose the laws you're going to keep. If you're going to be justified by works of the law, you have to obey them all the time. You can't say, well, you know, as long as I'm circumcised, as long as I'm eating right, I'm okay, because I'm doing that. And you can't say, hey, you know, as long as I'm baptized, as long as I partake of communion when it's offered, as long as I'm doing that, well, I'm okay, because I'm doing that. I'm doing that really well, so I'm okay. Now, you can't say that. You can't just pick a few laws and obey them. If you're going to be saved by the law, then you must obey all of the laws flawlessly, thought, word, and deed, all the time. If you lie one time, cursed. One lustful thought, cursed. Covet what your neighbor has, cursed. So if your obedience to the law, to the food laws, to those food laws is flawless, and your obedience to circumcision is flawless, but you break the other laws, cursed. And therefore, let me ask you this question. Do you think that you can obey flawlessly all of the laws all of the time? Can anyone here do that? How about this question? Do you think any of the Christians in Galatia could obey all of the laws all of the time flawlessly? You think they could do that? I think we all know the answer. We all know that we can't. We all know we sin. And that's why Paul says, now listen, all who rely on works of the law, they're under a curse. Because while you might keep those food laws flawlessly, while you might partake of communion flawlessly, whenever it's offered, you can break some other law and you'll be cursed. The law shows no mercy. The law says, obey flawlessly or die. Period. That's the law. There's no mercy in it. And that's why I asked you, began today with this question, why do you want to partake of the sacrament of communion today? If your answer is, well, in order to be saved, you know, in order to have my ticket to heaven, I got to do this. If that's your answer, the Word of God, not me, the Word of God is saying, you're cursed. You cannot get saved by what you do unless you're perfect, flawless from conception in the womb through all eternity. So, your reason for being here today is crucial. If you're here to earn some points with God, get a little closer to heaven, you're under a curse. And the curse is God's wrath for all eternity. The curse is hell. We need to think about that. It's very real. The curse does not mean you cease to exist when you die. The curse is that you will die and then experience God's just wrath forever. The curse is separation from God, no more grace, no more love from Him, only His just wrath. That's the curse. Jesus once gave a glimpse of the curse by telling a story of a rich man who died. Maybe you remember the story. Immediately after the rich man died, his soul was taken to hell. And in that place, we hear him cry out, "Have mercy on me, and just give me a drip of water from my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame." But there's no comfort for him, for he's in hell, separated forever from God's love and kindness. You'll find that story in Luke chapter 16. It's a glimpse of the curse. The curse is separation from God and God's wrathful punishment for sinning against him. And everyone who is relying on works of the law, they're going to be cursed. So again, why are you here today? That is of just immense importance, the answer to that. If you came here today thinking that obedience to God's command to partake of communion will save you, will get you enough points to get by, you're cursing yourself. You can't be saved that way. The only way you can be saved is through Jesus. So let me tell you about him and show you what this passage says about Jesus. He's the only way you can be saved. Jesus is the one human being who actually earned heaven by obeying the law of God. Remember, you can be justified by obedience to the law of God as long as you obey all of the laws flawlessly all of the time. Jesus did that. He's the one man who did it. Jesus is God. And he took on our flesh by being conceived by the Holy Spirit, which means he was conceived without any sin. No sin from his relative Adam, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was conceived differently than we are. And then during his whole life on this earth, he never sinned. He obeyed all of the laws flawlessly all of the time. In thought, word, and deed, Jesus obeyed all of the laws flawlessly. He obeyed all of the Jewish ceremonial laws. He was circumcised. He ate right. He did all of the feasts. He did everything the Jewish ceremonial laws demanded. And he obeyed all of the moral laws, all the Ten Commandments flawlessly. He was sinless, perfect, pure. Like white snow, he was pure. He earned a white robe of righteousness through his obedience to the law on this earth as a man. No one has done that but him, the God-man, Jesus, the Son of God, the one man who earned heaven by obedience to the law. Now, with that understood, listen to what Paul writes in verse 13. Verse 13 is staggering. No matter how many times I read this verse is staggering. Verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Dear friends, so that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law, Christ became that curse for us, which means he bore the wrath that we deserve for all eternity. He took our sins on his shoulders and he nailed them to the cross. Christ did not have to go to the cross, for he was sinless. But he willingly went to the cross to bear the punishment for our sins that we deserve. He went to the cross to nail to the cross each and every one of our sins. Listen to this. Please understand this. Christ did not die a generic, symbolic death. That's not what happened. It wasn't symbolism. It wasn't some generic symbol act of love. Not at all. He took our specific sins to the cross to bear the punishment for our sins. He knows you by name. He knows all of the sins you've ever committed, all of the sins you'll commit through the rest of your life. And if you're trusting in him, he took your sins to the cross and he nailed them there. He bore the punishment for your personal sins. Actively bore it. I ask you to think about that today. And to help us think about that, I brought something along with me. I brought a hammer and some nails just to get us to think about exactly what happened on this cross. For that lie you committed this week, that lie you told, Jesus nailed it to the cross. He died. So your lie could be forgiven. He knows it. Knows it personally. That moment of lust you enjoyed, do you know that Jesus had to die for that? He had to nail it to the cross? That moment of lust you enjoyed this past week, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for it. The extra time you wrote in your time card, you know, just fudge a little. Maybe you're 10 minutes late, but you wrote down you're there on time. Jesus had to die for that. That anger that burns within you towards someone, that raging bitterness, and the thoughts of vengeance or something like that that go along with that, you know, Jesus has to, he had to nail that to the cross. He had to bear punishment for that. Dear friends, the law is serious. God is holy. And justice must be served. God does not sweep any sin under the rug. Every single sin committed by a person must be dealt with. And so you had to die for those sins. And therefore, because that law is serious and because God is holy, to redeem us from the curse, Christ became the curse for us. And he nailed our sins to the cross. And we can't fathom the agony that he endured there. We can't fathom the depth of the agony. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Something was happening on that cross that we can't yet fully understand, what he bore for us. And so, dear friends, we are not saved by trying to obey the law. We are saved through Christ. The good news is this: when you repent of your sins, when you recognize that you have indeed sinned, and you repent of your sins, you admit that you are a sinner, and you simply turn in faith to Christ. You do nothing else but turn to faith in Christ. And Christ clothes you. He forgives your sins, and he clothes you with his perfect righteousness, the righteousness that he earned. And now, through his righteousness, through his work, you are justified. That's justification by faith alone and Christ alone. That's what we've been learning about for several weeks now. This is the last time. I've showed you this several times. Last time I'm going to show it to you. This is a picture of our justification. We repent of our sins. Our sins are forgiven because Christ nailed them there. And we're clothed in his righteousness, and now we stand justified before God. That is the only way any person will ever be saved and enter heaven. So, why did you come here today? If you came to partake of communion in order to earn salvation, you're under the curse. And the good news is the curse can be removed today, right now. It can be removed from you. The curse can be removed from you by you repenting of your sins and turning to faith in Christ and being clothed in his righteousness. That can happen this very moment in a blink of an eye if you turn to him. If you've never done that, turn to him. Now all the curse is removed from you. It was put on Christ. See the glory of this good news. It's real. Partake then of communion with humble repentance, obeying out of gratitude, recognizing what Christ has done for you personally. That's how we should always obey, out of gratitude. Come to the table amazed at what Christ has done for you. Come realizing how you are justified. Come realizing that Christ has taken your sin and given you his clean, perfect robe of righteousness. I'm going to give you time right now to think about your heart, your attitude, how you've been living, how you've been coming to church, why you came here today. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward right now. As we begin this time, worship team, you come forward. In this moment of silence that I'm going to give you, I ask you to repent of any self-righteousness. Repent of any way you have tried to earn God's love. Repent of any sins that God brings to your mind. What sins did you commit this week? Repent of those and do so. Please, doing so, knowing what Christ has done for you, trusting in him, cling to Christ in faith. Know with assurance that he bore your sins. It's through him we are saved. I give you a moment of silence, and then I will lead in prayer, and then we're going to sing a beautiful hymn about justification. Silence before God. Let's bow. Father God, we're so thankful that we can come here before you and confess our sins without fear because of what Christ did for us. We thank you for his life of righteousness on this earth, for his perfect obedience. And we thank you that he so willingly went to the cross and bore the just wrath that you poured out on him that should have been laid on us. We are amazed. We find it staggering. We thank you. We ask you to forgive us. May we always trust in Christ. Keep us from self-righteousness and any hint of that in our hearts and in our minds. Keep us from that. And Father God, we pray for any person here today who's repenting and trusting in Christ for the first time, that you would just bless that person and fill that person with great assurance in Christ. And give us that assurance as we now partake of communion and sing of the glorious truth that we have heard this day. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.